Yeah, I tried.
It's okay if not. Oh yeah, there is one here.
Right there, yeah.
Okay, perfect. Okay, thank you all for coming, guys. It's almost the end of the session, so bear with me. One more. Okay, so as you may know, well, you know that energy and fibers are as important as food nowadays in our society. And KNAF is one of these fiber crop that can be an alternative for both biofiber resource. So I'm going to present you kind of the agronomic aspect of how to grow KNAF in Iowa. But first of all, I know some people know about KNAF, some other probably don't, so it's okay. It's an annual dicot herbaceous crop from the Malvaceae family, which is the same family as cotton and okra. This is not a grass, it's from Africa originally. Here are some seeds and the flowers. And the industrial product of this plant is the stem. So it's composed of an outside bast with long and variable fibers. This is really the industrial product. And an inner core with short and porous fibers. So you have the wet material and this is the dry material. So as I mentioned, KNAF is a fiber crop. It was introduced in the United States during the Second World War for rope and cordage purposes. But the bast and the core together or separately can also be used for other purposes. So for paper pulp, for example, and animal bedding, it's porous, it's absorbent, textile, plastics, so bioplastic, biocomposite. Even in corridors, some models of Toyota and Ford have been using that to overall reduce the weight of the car, reducing the consumption of gas and the CO2 production. Some studies have highlighted the potential for cellulosic fuel, and some other folks have looked at the forage purposes, and some communities actually use it for food in India and Africa. So it's really a multi-purpose crop, really focused on fibers, and there is a potential for fuel as well. So nowadays, the world KNAF production is mostly in India and China. In the U.S., it is grown, but mostly in the southern part, as you can see. And there is really nothing in the Midwest, well, in the northern part here. There is some study that was done in North Dakota, though. So the idea of using KNAF is really to bring a resource for biofibers, which can be used for bio-based products, so replacing petroleum-based material or synthetic fibers. And actually in Iowa, the bio-based industry has been a big deal recently, so it has been contributing to a lot of jobs, a lot of money in the economy of the state, and including KNAF in the Iowa landscape will diversify, the landscape as it's mostly corn and soybean, right? But also the industry and will bring a fiber source as well. So if we go with that, there is a lot of different questions we can ask related to the production, to the processing and the utilization of KNAF. But for today, we're just going to focus on really the agronomic aspect. So what's the best way to grow KNAF in Iowa and what's the response to nitrogen fertilization? So the objective of that study were to look at the agronomic practices for KNAF productivity, so really the stem yield. So looking at seeding rate, row spacing, nitrogen rate, variety effect. So those are the treatments. Tainan 2 and Wheaton were actually two varieties that showed to be promising in Iowa. Tainan 2 is the most commercially used in the world. Wheaton was developed at Mississippi State University. There will be a picture later on. You will see the difference. So the another objective was to look at the effect of the agronomic practices on the KNAF growth, so during the growing season, and also on the composition of the fiber, so the lignocellulose concentration, the ash concentration, the carbon and nitrogen. So this study was kind of following up on an older study that also looked at certain management practices, but this one was a bit more accurate. Adding more treatment. So it was a split plot with four blocks. It was conducted in 2014 and 2015 at Boone, Iowa. It was planted in early June. The nitrogen rate was the most important treatment. We used 5 different nitrogen rates, and then the different varieties, seeding rate and row spacing, were used as a factorial combination. The measurements involved the stem height and the stem diameter taken every 2 weeks between planting and harvesting. And at harvest, we looked at the stem yield. So again, the stem is an industrial product, so really looked at the dry stem yield. The core and bast ratio, so I put a little picture again about, you know, to remind you what's the core and the bast. So basically the core divided by the bast, so to have an idea of the partitioning between those two fibers. And then we measured the lignocellulose concentration, the ash and CNN ratio. So lignocellulose is a pretty big deal, actually, as well as the ash concentration, they are the big deal for potential for fuel. So we'll talk about it later. So I'm tall, but apparently not tall enough, as you can see. So this picture was taken last year at Boone, Iowa. So this is Tainan 2. It really looks like hemp. This is not the same vat family. This is Wheaton, so you really see the difference between the leaf morphology. So that was beginning of October, and this other picture was taken at the end of October. It was on the top of the plot. So again, Wheaton and Tainuk 2. So which is interesting to see over there is that the corn is pretty brown, right? So in Iowa, apparently the growing season is longer for cannabis. It stayed green longer, so. So let's dive in the first objective. So looking at the best practices for KNAF stem yield and the fiber productivity as well. So the most striking result we had was that the dry stem yield was only affected by the variety. So for Tainan 2, and that was averaged over the 2 years. So Tainan 2 had a higher yield than Wheaton. Those yields were very comparable with the result from North Dakota. But 2014, the yields were a little lower than in 2015. 2015, it was like actually almost like 11 or 12, depending on the treatments. But basically here, it's really only the variety that had an effect. None of the other treatments, so seeding rate or nitrogen rate, had no effect, which was surprising because, you know, usually crop need nitrogen, right? But apparently, well, it looks actually that in the literature, some people have debated, you know, sometimes they say KNAF needs nitrogen, some other times say, some people say they don't. But based on that older study that was, that is actually right now in review, it was in Iowa like 10 years ago. And in that study, we showed that the nitrogen fertilization was beneficial only when KNAF was planted in early May. And in this study, it was planted in early June, so that could explain potentially why. But none of the other treatments, so seeding rates or row spacing, had an impact. Another result that we found was that using narrow rows and high seeding rates presented very small and thin plants. So, you know, in a crowded environment, there's competition, so the plant seems to be smaller and thinner. Looking at the core and bast ratio, so again, core and bast ratio, so the partitioning between both, we actually found that the variety, as well as the nitrogen rate and the seeding rate, had an impact. So for example, when we have a low seeding rate and a high nitrogen, we'll see a difference of core-bast ratio between those two varieties. But if we take a higher seeding rate at this nitrogen rate, for example, this time, you know, it will be the opposite. So just a complicated graph just to mention that the partitioning between the core and bast fibers is not only affected by the genetics, but also the management. The other objectives were looking at the best practices effect on the KNAF growth, so during the growing season. And so this is the height and the diameter for those 2 years, over the year. So we found many different results here, but I just want to focus on the nitrogen response. So the different colors represent different nitrogen rates. And what I want you to remember is that in 2015, it looks like, you know, the more we apply nitrogen, the taller the plants were, and the effect was visible really early in the season. And for the diameter, it was a similar observation. The last objective of that study was to look at the fiber composition. And one of the measurements was the lignocellulose, or cellulose concentration. And what we found is that it was affected by the genetics of the variety, but also the nitrogen rate. So to me, that was kind of a surprising result, because I always, maybe naively, thought that the composition of fibers will be really based on genetics. But apparently, a producer can work, you know, play on the management to maybe have plants that have higher cellulose concentration. So actually, in the BAST, if we look at the two different fibers, in the BAST, it was pretty much the same concentration of cellulose for those two varieties. It was really high. And it's overall higher than that other feedstock for ethanol production, for example. And in the core, this time we found that the cellulose concentration was dependent on the variety, but it was also on of the nitrogen rate. When we compared the carbon and nitrogen measurements, we found that the BAST seemed to accumulate more nitrogen than the core. And another result was, for some reason, the more we apply nitrogen, the cleaner the biomass was, so like there is less ash, the more we apply nitrogen. So this is actually, you know, important if we think about the plant for potential for fuel, because we want a clean biomass, and it seems like maybe applying more nitrogen will help on that. Okay, so, you know, it's Thanksgiving. Oh my gosh, I have trouble to speak. It's Thanksgiving very soon, so if you want to kind of throw some like fancy words at your dinner, you can talk about Kenaf. It's a multi-purpose crop that has a promising, it's a promising alternative crop for Iowa. It may not necessarily compete in yield with southern states, for example, but it stays vegetative the whole season. It doesn't reach the seed level, so that could be something, you know, good for energy purposes. But we found that the management practices influenced the productivity that we expected, the morphology, but also the composition of the plant. And among our different treatments, if I had to, you know, choose what would be the best management practices, well, for nitrogen, none of those, I mean, all of those rates actually resulted to the same observation. For the variety, Taining 2 seemed to be better than Wheaton. Seeding rate, we didn't find a whole lot of difference. And row spacing, it seemed that the narrow rows were better if we talk about productivity. But then, since we want to look at many different other physiological aspects or morphologic aspects, the genetics and management both have an importance. So Kenaf has a potential for fuel, or we can talk about that another time, but it's obviously a main resource for fiber that could bring some diversity in Iowa. So I would like to thank you for being here. I would like to thank the Oblinger family to allow me to come here with their travel scholarship, as well as the Grammy department, my co-authors, and the people in the lab in the field who helped me. So thank you very much.